With thanks to Lanco Group, The Review Show, with George Danikian, Nick DiBano and Athos Syrianos on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Streaming football 24-7, you're listening to the FNR Review Show with Nick DiBano, George Danikian and Athos Syrianos here. It's been a very good night so far, very good show to say the least, and we're joined now by a very special guest, fresh from Heidelberg's 6-1 win over Kingston City. We've got Matiang, who's joining us on the line. Matiang, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you. How's it going?
Not too bad.
It's going very well here, Matiang, but how must it have gone for you guys? It looked like it was going to be a pretty tight contest, but you finished, what is it, 6-1?
Yeah, 6-1, yep.
How did you concede one goal?
Oh, it's one of them games. Like, you know, we started off very well. You know, it looked like from the start, it looked like it was going to be a well-contested game between the two teams. Yeah, but we got the first goal, and then next thing we find ourselves like 3-0 up in about thirty minutes mark. Yeah.
Now, Matiang, I must ask you, your goalkeeper, Chris Theoretis, has been taking your penalties. Is he just that confident that he just eclipses all your other strikers in terms of that he's that good at taking penalties ahead of even a Tommy Cahill or even an Adrian Zara who have that sort of experience?
Oh, well, early in the season, we won 2 penalties. One was taken by Tom Cahill. He missed. The other one was taken by Bowsey. He missed as well. And Chris been practicing, you know, at training. So.
And what you're saying is he hasn't missed.
He hasn't missed. He's taken 2 for 2 and he's scored 2 from 2.
Fantastic. Incredible.
Could Chris perhaps be getting a promotion from penalties to free kicks?
Maybe not free kicks, but penalties, definitely.
Look, it's been an amazing season. You've had a bundle of injuries that have caused problems for the squad. Are you finally getting some bodies back?
Some of the boys are still working hard. Likes of Sean Ellis, he's back to training, doing a little bit of running by himself. But yeah, we've had like a lot of injuries, a lot.
Yeah, so obviously I saw Tom Cahill as well return today from injury. How big is him coming back? Obviously we saw Harry Noon, one of the other attacking players, down for quite some time. But Cahill coming in and scoring today, how important is he as being that focal point up top?
Oh, he's very important to the team. Like he's a target man for us. Like he's just there. Like if we have to go long, go feet. Yeah, he's there. He's the one. He leads the line for us. And it was very important. His return was very important today.
Yeah, and defensively speaking, I think Heidelberg have the best defensive record in the league. I think you've only conceded what 8 goals in the whole season so far. Is that something that you guys have really worked on at training defensively?
Yes. The boys at the back, you know, are very strong. The main thing, like every game we go to, we say that we don't want to concede. Like that's the main focus. We don't want to concede. And a lot of games, it's happened like that. We haven't conceded most of the games.
Is George Katsakis, the coach, smiling tonight, or is he still pretty tough to break down?
He's smiling. He's smiling. Definitely smiling.
Of course.
So who's next? Who's your next opponent?
We've got Avondale on Friday night.
Massive game.
So is that a home or away?
It's an away game.
So what can you guys expect from Avondale? They're second. You guys have those 2 games in hand, which are so important considering Bentley did drop points on Friday night. That game against Avondale almost becomes somewhat of a... It's almost like your proverbial cup final 6-pointer. You guys, what can you expect from them?
We expect a lot from them. Like, you know, they've been up there like since the start of the season. So we expect like a challenge. But like every game, we're gonna treat like just gonna treat like a final. That's pretty much what we've been doing since from the start.
Of course, and look, you know, it's great to see that you guys are getting those points on the board because, you know, riddled by obviously a few interruptions, the South Melbourne game obviously getting called off early, the Bulleen game not going through. It's a real testament to the squad with these injuries. How do you guys just keep through it? Obviously, is it almost that whole next man up? Are the 20s feeding through some young players, which are really starting to show that sign they can play at this level?
Yeah. The club's got they got great depth in the first team squad. Some of the 20s, great boys as well, great players. But it's like we got a big squad. So if some of the boys miss out, it's a chance for anyone who hasn't been playing as much to step up and do the job.
Matiang, are there any more South Sudanese players coming through that you're excited about that might be terrific to follow and watch their progress in the game?
Yeah, that's true. But, obviously I'm still new in Melbourne here. I'm still getting to know some of the boys, some of the South Sudanese boys.
How are you finding the change in the move to Heidelberg, to Olympic Village?
Oh, it's good. It's a big club.
Are you used to the training? How many times a week are you training?
We train 3 days a week.
Yeah, big times. And look, one question before I let you go, Matiang. Any word on Kenny Atiu? Are we expecting to see him come back to play for you guys at some stage this season? Or are we any word of whether his deal is going to become permanent at Melbourne Victory?
To be honest, I haven't heard anything about him coming back or staying over there. I haven't heard any news at all. But he's done well. From NPL Grand Finals last season, and finding himself in the A-League Grand Finals.
Yeah.
Which is huge, man.
Very.
Personally, I don't expect him to come back and play at Heidelberg.
Very impressive.
I expect him to stay at Victory.
Yeah, well, we do wish Kenny all the best, obviously. As you said, had a fantastic end to his time at Melbourne.
And not only that, he's become a cult figure.
He really has become a cult figure. And he had a tough season, obviously a few injuries, and he forced his way in late. But, Matiang, we must thank you for coming on such short notice and giving us a bit of an insight into your win over Kingston today. And good luck for you guys for the rest of the season. And we'll be sure to be keeping an eye on you guys next week against Avondale.
Yeah, thanks. It was nice to be online.
Cheers. Thank you, Matiang, for joining us.
One of the youngsters making an impact and certainly adding to their defensive setup. And Heidelberg, very keen to continue to make good results come out of Olympic Village. They want to go back and do what they didn't do last year, and that is win the Victorian NPL. They are the national NPL champions. So, you can imagine the expectations and the pressure being put on them by the board and also the fans.
And, they've also got those two games in hand, which we touched on earlier. So it's almost as though they're saying to Bentley Greens, keep up top nice and warm for us, and then we'll come and take
it. Is it almost just keep the seat warm almost? Yeah. But I must ask, I'm just going to put this out to our callers. You can join us at any time on 9944999 or Twitter at FNR_radio. If you're a Heidelberg fan, I want to actually put this question out there. And George, I'm actually going to put this question to you too. Do you think Heidelberg could push for an A-League license? Maybe not in the immediate, but some stage down the track, considering how good they are at a state level and how successful they've been over the past few seasons.
I think it depends entirely on the aspirations on the board and those who are running the game for Heidelberg. If they believe that there's an A-League license that they want to pursue, look, they're as good as any club in the country.
I think so too,
South Melbourne want to be major players in the A-League. They want to be contenders. There are a host of other licenses or consortia that are thinking that way as well. Look, it's up there.
Yeah.
Right now, you've got to put your financials together. You've got to be able to put a plan to the masters or the stakeholders of the game and say to them, we're worth being supported. We're worth being given the opportunity. Put your hand up, and then you've got to be able to deliver. And if they can do that, why not?
100%. And Heidelberg, actually, that whole Olympic Village area of the next few years is going to go under massive redevelopments.
Correct.
Like, great.
And that'll put it in good stead.
Yeah, so there'll be big redevelopments around not just the Olympic Village, but the surrounding training pitches, the other complex they got going there. And it's going to be fantastic, not just for the immediate Heidelberg area, but just to set up a good infrastructure for, obviously, the juniors to come through, the clubs around them, the schools. And it will give Heidelberg that extra bit of footing, and maybe some of the FFA will look at that and say, hey, look, these guys have got the facilities for it. They've got the pedigree. Like, if Heidelberg came in, I don't think that any diehard NSL fan or diehard football fan in Australia will be saying no, because I think that they're almost, with that history, they're almost ready to go.
Look, we keep hearing from people like Simon Hill, who's done a terrific job at first at SBS and, of course, lately with Fox Sports. And some of his commentary has been really interesting and very compelling. And he's saying that the game has got to forget about, you know, those big stadiums and look at boutique venues. Mm. And when you think along those lines, then suddenly a redeveloped, refashioned Olympic Village would be ideal.
Well, look, Olympic Village has the big grandstand on one side, which probably does need a bit of a makeover. And
it definitely needs a makeover.
Yeah, you get two, even if they're just the two, and they set up some sort of standing area behind the goals, which they already have, maybe you could actually facilitate getting in those big crowds. And then, but don't necessarily have to be, you know, 25,000 people. But you get 10,000 people in there.
You get 10,000 and it starts rocking. Yeah. That's a fabulous setup.
Of course. And they've got the history. They've got the
great... If it becomes what they call, your fortress, that to me is like having the ultimate extra man, isn't it?
Yes, and we know in football, especially we saw the West Sydney Wanderers utilise that so well when they first started at Parramatta Stadium, George, how using the boutiques, the rectangular stadium, it creates that extra bit of atmosphere. Melbourne Victory did it very well when they used to pack out Amy Park.
We should not forget also that some of the criticism this year has been about the crowds. Well, let's understand very quickly that Parramatta Stadium is being redeveloped.
So that's out so of their they hands
asked,
at the moment.
Yeah, but they asked the Western Sydney Wanderers fans, you know, to make concessions and to go to other grounds. That's easy to say. It's very hard to do. Fans start to get comfortable if it's your home ground, yeah, and they want to be there. I as a fan don't like going to Etihad.
No,
yeah. Well, I'll go to the MCG. Yeah. Yeah, I'll go to Amy. I will not go to Etihad.
Etihad's more of a ground built as we for Australian rules football because of its the but way.
I have no interest
even getting to Etihad.
I have no interest in going to Etihad to watch anything.
Anything?
No, anything.
Can I ask why, or is it just because of the way the ground is built?
I've never believed that a sporting venue should be built on a car park, and it proved itself very hard to get comfortable with from the early days. I've watched it from Colonial Stadium.
Telstra Dome.
To the Telstra Dome. In fact, I was the voice of the game at Telstra Dome when they did the World Cup Rugby Union.
Okay.
So I know the ground reasonably well, and I know how it works and what it doesn't work. And I just don't like it as a sporting venue.
I feel
venue.
Like a lot of people are split on Etihad Stadium. It's like you either love it or you hate it.
Well, fair enough.
Know? So I
think everyone loves.
I don't have
loves,
to care for it.
Everyone loves Amy Park.
Yeah, sure. It's a magnificent venue.
I haven't met anyone doesn't like
even,
Amy Park.
Even in terms of not just for its ability for sporting events, but for concerts, for everything else, it's because it's so closed in. It's fantastic the way it's built. It's close. It's very easy to get to. It's straight off the train and it's a 2-minute walk and you're right there. And you've got everything else around it. It's like that sporting precinct. Then Etihad, it's other way of the city by itself.
Look, the Docklands is continuing to evolve and develop. All right,
yeah.
But I still don't care for the ground. That's one of those things. I don't know whether it's a combination of trying to get around and getting some food or the quality of the food that they put up on offer or the price of the food. Whatever it is, it just doesn't flow
doesn't
for me.
Doesn't sit well.
No, I've even been there to watch the cricket, and I got spoiled. I was in one of the corporate suites.
You still didn't like
and
it.
And I still didn't like it. There you go.
We're going to take a short break here on the FNR Review Show. And back after this, we'll be joined by our good friend from SWR 999 FM, Will Gotsis, who will once again give us a full wrap of everything happening in NPL New South Wales. Another action-packed, drama-filled weekend over there. Back after this on the Review Show.